The Other Side of Midnight.
77 WNBC.
Local Spotlight.
Good morrow, everyone. This is The Other Side of Midnight on 77 WABC. I'm superstar Frank Moreno. Well, I am pumped. I'm excited that it's Friday and the weekend is here. And we begin the weekend here on this program by giving you an opportunity to ask questions. So if you have questions on any subject, now is the time to go ahead and dial 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Make them good, make them interesting, make them creative, make them a little bit different from questions that you've heard in the past. Now, the other reason I'm excited is because tonight is opening day for the Staten Island Ferry Hawks. I'm going to the game. My wife is going to be with me, and we're bringing our son because there are going to be all sorts of great fireworks, I think, as well. Oh, actually, wait a minute. I made a mistake here. I'm just looking at this. The fireworks are going to be Saturday night after the game, and that may mean my son is disappointed because I told him we were going to see fireworks tonight after the game. So that's a little bit of a bummer on our end, but it shouldn't affect you. So if you end up going to the game on Friday for opening day or on Saturday, it's a great view. It's a great place to watch baseball. It's a great bunch of guys and a great bunch of fans that end up going to the game. If you want to go and you don't have tickets, you can get tickets at ferryhawks.com. That's ferryhawks.com online. Or you should be able to go buy tickets at the stadium box office. The stadium box office and the stadium itself is right near the ferry at 75 Richmond Terrace. It's a great night, and if you do end up going to the game tonight, look for me. I'm going to be walking around, probably chasing around a two-year-old who will be enjoying copious amounts of junk food, and I would love it if you would come up and say hello, and I could introduce you to both Carmine and Rachel. But in any event, I am excited that the Ferry Hawks season has begun, and if you don't have tickets, go to ferryhawks.com, but please be sure to say hello. All right. Let me hear your questions. 1-800-848-WABC, 800-848-9222. Oh, by the way, this afternoon, probably around 1:15, 1:30, I am going to be doing an interview on Facebook with my friend Curtis Sliwa. So you can watch that live, and there's going to be a lot of cool inside WABC stories. That's on my Facebook page, facebook.com/MoranoFan, and you can just be notified whenever we go live. But I have certainly a thing or two that I'd like to say to Curtis, and we will.
Beam me up!
To be continued.
The Other Side of Midnight.
77 WNBC.
Local Spotlight.
Good morrow, everyone. This is The Other Side of Midnight on 77 WABC. I'm superstar Frank Moreno. Well, yet another lawsuit was filed on Thursday to stop New York City's horrible congestion pricing plan before it goes into effect in 8 weeks. This time, it was the town of Hempstead that filed the federal lawsuit, making it the first on Long Island to take legal action against the controversial tolling plan. Drivers say it's already too expensive to come into Manhattan. Some are already resigned to paying the congestion pricing toll. But I think this is great. I applaud the Hempstead town supervisor, Don Clavin, who said, look, nothing's a done deal in this world. Nothing's a done deal. So he filed this lawsuit yesterday and is seeking a permanent injunction against the plan on civil rights grounds. The lawsuit, if you read it, says it has not been properly authorized and treats different classes of drivers differently. He's exactly right. I hope this is just the continuation of a tidal wave of litigation against the MTA. We already have a suit that the governor of New Jersey, Phil Murphy, has brought. We already have a suit that the borough president in Staten Island, Vito Fisella, along with minority leader Joe Borelli, joined, by the way, by the NAACP and the teachers union, the UFT, they brought a separate lawsuit. So there are at least three separate lawsuits going. Additionally, at the congressional level, both Josh Gottheimer and Nicole Malliotakis have introduced bipartisan legislation to put a stop to this. This would be awful. This would just be yet another tax on working class New Yorkers. And if you're someone that lives or shops in Manhattan, this will increase prices on you because every good that's coming into Manhattan south of 60th Street is going to be tolled. They're going to be whacked with this congestion pricing toll, and you can bet that these manufacturers are not going to eat that cost themselves. That's going to be passed on to you. I don't like this, not only because it would affect me and I really can't afford it, but I don't like this because it's unfair and it's a regressive tax, which, by the way, studies have indicated will not reduce traffic congestion. It may reduce it slightly in Manhattan, but it makes it worse everywhere else, all of these other areas outside of Manhattan. What kind of a solution is that? No solution. This is idiocy. I applaud the town of Hempstead and everybody else that is working so hard to fight this.
Beam me up!
To be continued.
The Other Side of Midnight.
77 WNBC.
Local Spotlight.
The debate around secession has been smoldering on Staten Island for as long as I've been alive, and it was actually a key reason that voter turnout was so high in 1993, and one of the reasons that Rudy Giuliani was able to win in a very close election over David Dinkins, in contrast to 1989, where he lost in a very close election to David Dinkins. Well, there has now been an objective study at what secession would look like for New York City and for Staten Island. What would seceding from New York City actually mean for the borough? It would mean copious litigation, yawning budget deficits, and a scramble to make up for lost economies of scale, building up its own municipal workforce, possibly creating new healthcare, education, and corrections facilities, for example. That's according to a new report from the city's independent budget office on the age-old topic of secession. The bottom line is this. The report found that secession would not be simple at all. In short, secession is highly complex. It would take many years to implement because, don't forget, every public school that you see, every NYPD precinct that you see, every FDNY firehouse that you see, that's not owned by Staten Island. That's owned by all the taxpayers of the city of New York. Staten Island owns just a percentage of it. So I don't see this as being feasible, and I don't see it being desirable because this would make life significantly more expensive for residents. And it would require an independent Staten Island to reduce benefits and services to residents, or both, either a lot more in taxes or a lot less in services. The report was conducted by the independent budget office following a request last year from City Council member Justin Brannon, a Democrat of Brooklyn, who represents sort of the district adjacent to Staten Island. And he said to City and State, quote, "In the beginning, there was darkness, and then there were shadow boxing Staten Island politicians talking tough about seceding from New York City. Cut off from the benefit of citywide sales and property tax, tourism revenue, and overall economic growth, a seceded Richmond County could not afford to provide police, fire, trash pickups, schools, libraries, hospitals, and other absolutely essential human services to its population without an insanely exorbitant increase in taxes just to maintain today's status quo." Well, I don't think Brannon really needed to take a shot at the politicians that have proposed this, because after all, these politicians are only reflecting the will of their constituents. I do think he makes a lot of good points there. So I applaud the politicians like Joe Borelli, for instance, that have brought this up, because I think this was an important dialogue to have. And I think this research was really necessary. But I don't think now is the time.
Beam me up.
To be continued.
The Other Side of Midnight.
77 WNBC.
Local Spotlight.
Keep in mind the words you are about to hear. Keep in mind the commentary you are about to hear, because two, three, four, five, 10 years from now, if you're wanting to know why the judicial system and the criminal justice system in this state is so screwed up, the words you're about to hear will provide the answer. A group that helped thwart the confirmation of Governor Kathy Hochul's choice to lead New York's highest court last year has announced a campaign aimed at pushing elected officials to more closely scrutinize judicial nominees and appointees across the state. Now, on the surface, that sounds great. Judicial nominees and appointees around the state should be more closely scrutinized, especially by the public, but they should be more closely scrutinized by everybody. But this group has a very specific idea in mind when they talk about scrutiny. The group, the Center for Community Alternatives, which advocates for criminal justice reform, argued in a letter to Ms. Hochul this month that New York governors, actually last month, I forgot we're on a new month, New York governors who can nominate and appoint judges to several state courts and the state Senate, which confirms the nominations, have failed to properly evaluate judges' records and fitness to serve before placing them on the bench. So this new campaign, The Court New York Deserves, argues that reappointments have become routine and that too many people with influence over judicial selection have come to take for granted that once judges are put on the bench, they will serve until they reach the mandatory retirement age. So in its letter, this group urged Hochul to change course from your predecessors and only nominate for reappointment judges who have shown sound judgment, exceptional integrity, and commitment to New York values. What this is going to lead to is that any judge that was a prosecutor, any judge that has a history of giving lengthy prison sentences to people like violent criminals, they're going to have a scarlet letter. They're going to be marked, and it is going to be very difficult for those judges to get reappointed because this group is going to torture any state senator and the governor that allows these, what they'll call, carceral judges to remain on the bench. So what that is going to lead to is judges who want to be appointed and know the power that this group is about to wield, they are going to let everybody off with a slap on the wrist, and that's going to be a bad situation. Or if they don't, I think you're going to see a lot of judges not reappointed. Bottom line, this will serve notice on trial judges across the state. Those who don't pass muster won't be appointed to a higher court or count on a lengthy judicial career at all. This is bad news. This is not a sexy story, not a story that's gotten a lot of attention, but this is a story that is going to make your life, unless you're a criminal, much worse.
Beam me up!
To be continued.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.